Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Trump was on the UFC yesterday, and he was cheered by the crowd. It was a very, very good UFC, one of the best UFCs. For those like me who like submissions, that was a very good UFC. The stadium went chanting, "Fuck Joe Biden." Interesting to see Trump out there getting social support while getting persecuted by the legal system, but something tells me this presidency won't be good at all. I'm so afraid that Trump is not enough on a path of vengeance, and he won't destroy the government. He won't do much. Lendald Guntram says, "Don't jump, vote Trump." Well, I won't vote because I won't be in the U.S., but I would wish that we have a president who's really on a quest of vengeance, and I don't think we're going to have this. Something tells me Trump is selling away all of the interest in his campaign to donors, and the people will not get served very much. Lendald says, "Every vote counts, JF." My wonderful girlfriend has made these cookies. Look at this. They are just out of the oven. Extremely good. The cookie cook, this girlfriend. The perfect woman, really. The only woman worth respecting in any way on this earth. White chocolate chips. Black chocolate chips. Oreo. Oh no, it's Oreos that are crumbling into the cookie. Excellent cookies, simple taste. Kind of almost plain taste, not much of a chocolate taste, but the texture is just perfect. She really masters the texture of cookie baking. John Drake says he would have to set up military tribunals to put deep state actors in prison. Probably not going to happen. Yeah, that's the problem. We need extreme action on the government. It's out of control. And we're not even close to getting to even some sort of punishment. We're not even close to stopping this ever-growing system that the state is. So I'm afraid Trump will not be a very spectacular presidency. He's very much going from within the system rather than outside of the system. So you might have an expansion, you might have the Fed printing money and Bitcoin rising crazy and the stock markets going wild, but it's all going to be very little for the people. Lendald Guntram says, "Low probability expectations, but you can also insist. You can always insist, Lady Hope dies last." Okay, that's what you're telling me to cheer me up. Cringe Panda says, "Bonsoir, can I please get you to pronounce the name of Pierre Richard of Montreal Canadiens?" Well, I don't know who that is, but if you want the Quebec pronunciation of these words, it would be Pierre Richard. Or the English pronunciation would be Pierre Richard. Pierre Richard. Yeah, why do you ask that? I don't know. Sean Strickland, a very good performance against yesterday against Paulo Costa. Very interesting guy. His fighting was very interesting to watch. This unorthodox going forward and kind of, he's kind of a dysfunctional robot. It's almost a dance. Seeing Sean Strickland fight, it's a dance of dysfunctionality and deception. Very impressive style of fighting. I really like it, and I like that he's supporting Trump. He was commenting on Trump being a felon. Trump is here, man. Come on, we have a convicted felon here. Let's put on a fucking show for this man. He said he was jealous of President Trump because he has hooked up with models and has a lot of money. Very interesting guy. I love that the UFC, and we had so much Palestinian comments also coming from the Muslim fighters yesterday at the UFC. Khabib Nurmagomedov went to see straight Donald Trump and said, I know you'll be stopping this war in Palestine and everything. And Trump said, yes, we will do it. We will stop it. It's interesting. I love that there's this place. There's this institution called the UFC in which some of the last free people exist, because everyone everywhere else is shut down by their boss. They're in corporate culture. They have to check what they say. But here you had an open political conversation in a corporate environment. And you have a lot of Trump fans like Sean Strickland, who don't hesitate to acclaim Trump when they get to the mic. Now, Trump saying we will stop the Palestinian stuff. The problem is Trump has already shared his true view on this in the press, and he said they have to stop the bad press. They have to stop the bombings of civilians. That looks really, really bad. Really, really bad for your real estate. So I don't think we have a Trump here who's totally with Khabib. I think they think differently, although Trump, being a negotiator, knows how to display a false promise. And to me, that was a false promise. We will stop it. Well, we will stop it by what? By allowing Israel to crush completely Gaza? I mean, at this point, everyone has been pushed into Rafah, and the U.S. has said, don't bombard the civilians in Rafah. And Israel says, no, we'll do it. We'll do it as long as Hamas exists. Well, that is so loose. That is so abstract. You are basically giving yourself a free ticket to bomb civilians. So unfortunately, when Trump says we will stop it, he's not talking about slapping the hand of Israel. He's not talking about finding that Israel is committing a genocide. He's talking about some military intervention that would allow eliminating more people in Gaza, siding with Israel, and just making it look better with the press. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, I know you value in woman the ability to resist enforcement of social taboos, but acknowledge that this is incredibly rare even among conservatives. Can such a resistance be selected among a community of women long-term, or is giving in to social pressures inherent to woman's nature? Well, listen, all my life I've been seeing only women who fold to social pressure. So all my life I was of the view that maybe there's a woman out there who is strong internally. Maybe she exists, but maybe it's also impossible for me to find her within a limited time span. So I had kind of settled on the idea that, well, it's a dream. She's a dream woman, and I will simply not know her in my life. But I ended up at 40 years old finding my current girlfriend who cooked these cookies. And she is the woman you just described in terms of being extremely, extremely self-motivated, having her own pillar of morality, having just like me. It's the woman that I found in the world that is the most like me I've ever seen. And so it exists. It exists. Now, when you look at the ratio of autism between men and women, and what I just described is not autism, but let's call it loosely the set of features of being stubborn, of being socially, capable of living without the social approval of others. All these features, when you look at them in men and women, men are 7 times more likely to have this set of feature, which leads one to believe that perhaps autism is the ultimate male mind. I would argue autism is the ultimate correct mind. So, see, this is my theory, okay? I'm going to lay it out. I like the idea that autism is the ultimate male mind. But I even like better the idea that autism is the ultimate correct mind. And there's just more evolutionary pressure on men to be correct. And our evolutionary pressures on women are loose enough that they can go on in life being literally wrong all day. That is the sad state of existence of the woman part of the population. It's that you'll never be called out. You'll never be trained to do better arguments. You'll never be reconnected with the factual reality of the world. And as such, women converge much more often toward social cue gathering because they don't have to do anything else. It works. So the sad thing is this feature of the human mind, which I call correctness, or, having strong pillars, self-driven empirical capacities, and a self-driven conception of the world, gets only selected mostly in men and probably shows up accidentally in women or at a much lesser rate. Now, you ask me, should I search for a woman like this, or should I just accept that women are defective? Well, I it's a trade-off. It's a trade-off because I don't want to tell you, just go out there and find a woman like my girlfriend, because I don't know how likely you are to find her. I don't know if my girlfriend is a 1 in a trillion observation, or a 1 in a billion observation, but I know she's rare. So I'm not going to send you on a false path because I've been all my life just going through the carousel of all existing women that I could talk to, and I have never found someone like her. So on the one hand, I would say it exists. Don't abandon the idea and know how to spot it if it shows in front of you. But at the same time, for the first 40 years of my life, I had to go the other way, which is the ideal doesn't show up. Therefore, let's accept these socially guided women. But every time, what it leads to, a socially guided woman will get socially guided out of your life. That's the problem with a non-thinking woman. She's looking for a cue, and her fat, cancerous, communist girlfriend, nurse just shows up and says, "Hey, why don't you divorce?" It's like, wait a minute. She's going to die from cancer in 2 weeks. Are you sure you want to listen to this fat, unsuccessful communist? Yes, I think she's right. We must divorce. Holy shit. It's when I mean, it's what happened in my life many times, that kind of stuff. Real Base Talk says, does your girlfriend have friends for us, JF? Ask her. Well, I don't know if the story worked. I already set up with the girl in Australia, but I'll do a loose announcement for now, and perhaps I'll do a more serious announcement, because I don't know if I don't have feedback from the couple I've put together recently. So if you are a male in Australia available, willing to tolerate some degree of normie talk from your wife, willing to make three babies. I looked at the picture of the girl in Australia. She is a 8 out of 10 levels of beauty. Now, I'm becoming more severe. I probably would have rated her 9 out of 10 a couple of years ago. But now that I'm with my girlfriend, it's like every girl in the world, even Eva Vlaarden-Gierbroek, I had to minus one them. I had to minus one every girl in the world because my girlfriend showed up in my life with her really fantastic and stunning beauty. In any case, if you are in Australia and you're looking for a girlfriend, there is a woman who's looking for a husband. She wants three babies. She's not like us. Like, she's not a super artist. But if you are in Australia and you think that you are a high quality man capable of providing for a woman, just send me an email and I'll put you on a list, and we'll circulate through and go through each man and see what is the best for her. Real Base Talk says, you must really be in love, Jeff. I mean, it's not love talking, really. I know that when people are in love, they say stupid stuff, but that's stupid people also. In my case, although I am in love, love is no reason for me to become irrational. Everything I'm laying out is just the facts here. And the fact is that my girlfriend is quite the catch, my friends. It's like, I just want to think, how do I make this woman the most happy possible? How do I become the best husband at all times? Even when I don't pay attention to her, even if I go working or shopping, or, you know, my goal in life is always, how do I make life better for her and my family? New York subway vigilante whose manslaughter charges were dropped says Daniel Penny should be convicted. This is so sad, because I think it's the guy that had to use a gun to shoot towards someone. And it's like, he should have some solidarity for Daniel Penny, because Daniel Penny, yeah, it was the guy who had a conflict and he got a gun pulled on him, and the guy dropped the gun, and eventually the gun ends up in the hand of the other guy, and to defend himself himself, he shoots the guy who had initially brought the gun to the fight. Look, he should have some sympathy for the idea that sometimes you put yourself in a situation trying to neutralize something that you've not asked for. And yes, Daniel Penny was a chokehold. That is a different case. But the guy from the gun case is saying Daniel Penny should be convicted. And it's like, can't you understand that with the subtle difference of chokehold versus gun, that Daniel Penny found himself in the exact same situation as you? He found himself with a crazy black guy in the metro choosing to make it a matter of life and death where he didn't have to. Choosing to be so uncontrollable as to need neutralization. And Daniel Penny ended up chokeholding him, and somehow he died. Somehow he died after all this. And somehow it's the fault of Daniel Penny. We are here in cases of self-defense, in cases of good citizens trying to neutralize a situation and paying the price for it. It's absolutely sad. And we don't even see a solidarity between the various people. It's like everyone wants to escape the dirty system, wash their hands for what the dirty system will do to others. Oh, I got out of it because I was truly scared for my life, but I don't think Daniel Penny was scared for his life. Well, now you start dissociating yourself, you start breaking down the solidarity, and ultimately people like you who use a gun will get convicted one time in the future in New York, because eventually the leftists will take over enough of the judiciary process that basically they'll be putting innocent people in jail. Lendold Guntram says, attacker choked himself by refusing to cease his aggressive movement. The chokehold was by far not perfectly synced in. Yeah, exactly. All these cases, George Floyd, Daniel Penny, we should all have a conception that if you keep resisting when someone has neutralized you, you are exerting your physiology to the point of endangering your own life. Period. And therefore, you are causing your own death. I'm really against the idea that someone taking self-defense measures, a good citizen, a good Samaritan, should be perfect in his use of all techniques and have no deadly risk to, because ultimately Daniel Penny didn't choose the deadly risk. Daniel Penny faced a set of complex choices. One of them was to let, which by the way is all that women do. They always let the crazy guy do whatever he wants, including killing people. Look, woman policeman. This was tweeted by Lauren Witzk. I think it's an old case, but it just shows women policemen are reacting like women to deadly situations, and it's endangering male colleagues at this point. So there's three policemen involved in this whole thing. So you can see that the car is destroyed. So I imagine there was quite a chase before they got there. You have a policeman here pointing a gun toward the driver. You have a policeman here with a gun toward the driver. And you're going to have a female police who will be kind of standing here, okay? As the person standing the furthest away, you have a very important role. If anything, a role that is more important than the guys who are closer. We are counting on you, first, to have the most objective view of the whole scene. Second, if there starts to be rough fighting with guns being held and guns being ripped and guns versus gun, and they're too close to shoot each other, but the fight gets dirty, the police, who is placed as the triangular position the furthest away, is the most well-placed to save the life of policemen that are more in the action, because she can have a clean line of shooting. She can see that there is gunfire and that therefore her police colleagues are in danger. The worst thing that you can do in that position is flee, because you're not the one immediately at threat. You are basically a sniper over a scene. Now, look at what this woman policeman does. She flees. That's the female reaction. Okay, so we got one police guy just got shot. So the question of the deadly threat is resolved. We have a deadly threat.
Shots fired.
Okay, so that's actually the woman. So the woman has an angle on the driver. Shots fired.
I'm hit.
Okay, so there he is, the criminal. The woman police backs out while her second colleague is also getting shot. And now that she's backed out, the criminal gets a free pass without coverage here to attack this policeman without return fire. Boom, close range, shoots the policeman and runs. What did we need in this scene? We needed a policeman positioned exactly here. And she knows she had to be there because she was there. She was at the right place. She followed her training. She was covering the angle so that this policeman's life is not endangered. Now that she gave up this angle, she retreated. We have one police that was shot here, one police shot here. Saturn Shine says, Lendald Guntram says, then panic kicked in. She was at the right place for a moment. So it's dangerous to have the wrong people handling dangerous situations. People who are just not programmed. There's more discussions going around this German case, which we have to review more in depth here. So let's do a more in-depth review of the German case of the stabbing. Because we now learn that the police who did what we judge was a kind of poor intervention on the scene, you know, neutralizing a random white citizen rather than neutralizing the guy with the knife, ended up dying. So we now know that the police has died from the stabbing in the ear that he got because he neutralized the wrong guy. Now, people have been looking into more details into the video, and it appears that the initial discourse around, although it wasn't necessarily my take, I wasn't seeing everything, so I didn't take a strong position on this. But there are some positions out there on social media that have been that, well, the guy was trying to neutralize, the guy was a hero, basically. He was trying to neutralize the knife-wielding man, and the police came in and neutralized him. But it's not what happened. The guy who is considered the hero and who's being tackled by the policeman, I now realize, looking at all the angles, that he wasn't even trying to hit the guy with the knife. He was trying to hit a guy that was trying to neutralize the guy with the knife. So we have an inception here. The police was tackling the wrong guy, but the wrong guy was also tackling the wrong guy. And there was a hero down there actually neutralizing the knife-wielding man. So let's have a look at the scene. This is the knife attack in Germany, and in more detail and higher resolution, we will see all of these events. Okay, so a live stream was being filmed of this whatever touristic whatever, or maybe it's some political thing, I don't know, but the live streamer notices there is some problem happening here. So we see a man who is on the floor because he's trying to stab people. He got thrown on the floor. Now they try to neutralize him further, but he steps back up. He has a knife. He waves it to slash the leg of this guy, slash the hands of this guy. Now he goes aggressively toward the victim. Now he's looking to make the most damage, and it is with knives, as they say in in the TV series. What is the name of that TV series with a virtual world in it? Anyways, they explain in this that the best way to kill people with knives is the maximal number of penetrations, fast, quick, strong, and numerous penetration into areas that can bleed. And so there he is, smashing and slashing. So he's on the floor, continuing to slash. Now, someone get neutralization of his right arm and is in a kind of ground neutralization position. But he's kicking away. People are kicking him. We can see the injury of this guy here on his leg. Now, somehow, because no one is truly mastering his body, somehow he gets out despite four people being there to control him. Now, this is where we see a police has been tackling a guy with a blue shirt. And from this particular angle, we don't see much. What was the blue guy doing? Was he a good guy attacking a bad guy? Was he a bad guy? And so I have another angle that is better to understand what's happening. So let's look at the better angle, but it shows you what the events were that led to this. So let's now look at this angle. So the filming of the political activity, whatever that was. Oh, is that the same angle? Let's have a look at from there. So he stands back up. The police has tackled the guy with the blue shirt. And now you have the scene which has led to the huge meme. The guy with the blue shirt, who was participating to the group trying to stop him, neutralized by the policeman, and the knife wielder attacking the policeman. This knife hit to the ear will have led to the death of the policeman later during the day. So knife hit to the head. I want to find the other angle that I had, because we were seeing so much more clearly what was happening. Let me just try to see if I have the right one here. I think on this one we might see it. My God, where have I put this video? I know I have the video not far. It must be in there. Wow. I can't seem to find the video I wanted to show you guys. Sorry. My God, did I lose? Did I lose this link? That really sucks, because it was a good one. Anyways, man, that sucks. Let me search into... It's okay if we take our time today. Let me search into my history. It was one of the last videos I watched today. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Someone has sent me the video in DM. Thank you so much. Let's see this. Here's the video. Ah, yes, that's the video I was looking for. Okay, sorry for this delay. Let's have a look now. So here we have a view of the scene from further back. And I want you to pay attention to a couple of things. The knife wielder is somewhere here. There are citizens neutralizing him. The guy with the blue shirt will come and will be hitting one of the citizens trying to neutralize the knife wielder. See, this guy here is a guy neutralizing the knife wielding man. And yet he's receiving hits from the guy with the blue shirt. See, the guy with the blue shirt punch on the head of the neutralizing citizen who was neutralizing the knife wielder. He's continuing to punch him, but this guy is not the knife wielder. The knife wielder is here. So while the guy with the blue shirt hits the innocent man, the good Samaritan, the police sees a guy hitting a good Samaritan, comes in to neutralize him. Now you can see all of these people are all fixated onto the guy with the blue shirt. So there's like six people all looking at the guy with the blue shirt as a primary aggressor while not realizing that the knife wielder is right here. Now, neutralization of the blue shirt to the ground. The good Samaritan here is standing up while protecting his head so that he doesn't get knifed, while the true knife wielder stands up and is now perceived as the source of danger. And now he starts attacking this good Samaritan while the blue shirt guy was neutralized. So all of this to say, the wrong guy was attacked. And the police decision is not necessarily good because it was neutralizing someone who was committing an assault. Because the police decision still failed at localizing the real threat. But the police decision was fixated onto a threat because there was this blue shirt guy hitting onto the head of the good Samaritan. So all in all, the blue shirt guy wasn't a hero. He was just a confused man who was hitting on the wrong guy. And ultimately the hero was this guy. This guy was the closest to getting knifed for the purpose of neutralizing the knife wielder. And he had the blue shirt guy hit him in the head. And then he had the police tackle the blue shirt guy. You have here a series of errors within errors. Dead Ribbit says, blue shirt isn't a cop, though. Is he? Not that we know. So now we know that the police who ended up neutralizing, tackling the blue shirt guy has died because he gets attacked here by the knife wielder. Alimer says, when in doubt, I always go with a fight. Okay, I won't read the rest. John Drake says, what was the fool thinking? Still, the cop should have dealt with the knife-wielding person. End of the line, Joel says, can you analyze the cop's reactions? Well, we can go back if you want to the clearer video, if you want to see the cup's reaction. But that was my point that I've done with the other cup video today, which is females have a natural reaction to get away from danger. And I think it's what we see here. We see inaction from females, and it's all a bunch of males making errors in trying to neutralize a male, while a female is in the best line of shoot, but doesn't seem to be doing any shooting. Okay, so we got the initial aggression, slashing, falls to the ground, moment of best neutralization with now the Good Samaritan here. Now, Good Samaritan still in control. Good Samaritan is currently getting punched in the head by the blue shirt guy. And now the police comes to tackle the blue shirt guy, liberating the knife wielder from both the blue shirt guy and the Good Samaritan. So we have the courageous policeman here going, a male going in front. We have a female hesitating, not doing anything physical. A female hesitating, not doing anything physical. We have the male who is who has the lowest reaction time to reaching some kind of a gun here. And see, already within only about 2 seconds of decision making here, you have female on the backstand, withdrawing from danger, while a knife wielding guy is within reach of an unsuspecting policeman, again, a man who has put himself in danger. So it's like, why? At some point, you have to ask, wouldn't we be better without the females at all? Like, at least we wouldn't be in the kind of hallucination that they will save our lives. At least we would know there's no one. Why are we placing them in positions? Is it just for work equity? So every man now has to work the same job, take the same risks, but share his salary with a female so that we are equitable. So what I see here is a single person having understood the deadly danger they was faced with and having had his gun out. We have females yelling. This female is yelling, teach them not to knife wield. I mean, look at this. Look, pay attention just to this female here. She is yelling because she believes that input of information is what's needed here. Let me explain this to woman. You are fucking annoying. It's like, holy fuck. Do you understand that there is limited bandwidth to the human brain? Why are you fucking bombarding me with yells while there's 5 other things going on? I can't hear you. Right now, what I need is either you have a gun to save my life, or you tell me your great information that you have later, but not now. I'm currently neutralizing a blue shirt guy that was hitting a Good Samaritan, that was neutralizing a knife wielding man. There's no yelling in the fucking world that you can do that will improve the situation. Now pay attention to this fucking woman right here. And look at her position. This is the position of a terrified gerbil. We have to Google it because gerbil. This is a police lady. $60,000 a year. Ty Odyssey says they took our gerbs. This is, go tell me that this is not what she's doing. I mean, let's go back to it. Well. What was the video now? I'm having difficulty even finding the video again. Okay, there it is. This, okay, the crooked position of the knees, the state of terror, the yelling. I mean, if she had nuts in her mouth, she would be effectively a gerbil. Now, I'm sorry, I'm having so much trouble with Twitter video just starting to play the wrong videos. So you have the gerbil position, which is not taught at all in police academy. So we have here a single functional agent who's willing to neutralize the threat, a single functional agent who's willing to fight physically even if he doesn't do it perfectly. Yelling. We're at the point where this guy had not only had time to pull his gun, identify the deadly threat, position himself strategically to have a good line of shooting that doesn't involve potential risk to civilian or to his colleague, and yet we still have these gerbils, three gerbils right here. It's like cheerleading. They're cheerleading. Save him. Save him. You have the gun. You're in the right position. Well, why? Why does he have the gun and has in the right position and now needs your yelling? It's because for every step that he did forward to do intelligent positioning, you did a step backward. Oh, no. Oh, a shooting has happened. I mean, you can see them just... No, I mean, I wouldn't work as a police right now because you are not an agent of enforcement of the law. You are an agent of balanced equity that is basically there to entertain the illusion that you have female colleagues. I mean, look at her terrified reaction as he uses violent shooting. Oh my God. And in all this time where this guy had about five strategic moves, she now has a hand on her gun. That's how long it took for her to react. You see the speed of cognition of this guy compared to this girl? It's life or death. Life or death. So that's why I'm not a policeman, guys. That is just why. It was important that tonight we analyze this in depth because there's been misinformation. But all in all, you wanted me to analyze the other police woman. They have zero role in this except increase the cognitive load on highly functioning men, police. We have a super chat from Silver Spider. He says, "Hey, JF, I heard my neighbor yelling at his son, 'You're white,' for listening to gangster rap. I thought, hey, this guy is pretty based. But then we had a dispute over a tree on his property about to fall on mine, and he had zero sympathy for my very white family. What is with people like this?" Oh, well, you know, I'm a libertarian, and I really don't like neighbor relationships. And even if you were to come to me and say, "JF, your tree is about to fall on my property," I might be resistant. I might be annoyed. And I might come at you aggressively because I have a history of being traumatized by neighbors who are obsessed and who always have their demands, and So it's like, don't take it personally. Maybe you have here a case where this guy really doesn't like neighbors. And, you know, when he sees you, you're bad news. That's how I see it. If a neighbor comes to me, it's like, bad news, fuck him. Now, maybe he reacted in an overly aggressive manner, not so much because he doesn't care about the tree, but because in general, he wants to signal to you, hey, you don't come to me with neighbor stuff. I'm not here to be your friend. Fuck you. So take the fuck you in. What I would recommend, take the fuck you in and just go back to the root of the problem. So the root of the problem is you're really scared that this tree will fall on your land. Now, what can it damage? Can it damage your house? Can it damage your car? Can it kill you? Or is it just a tree that will fall onto grass and you're just scared because your children are playing around this tree? What is the position? And ask yourself, what can he do about it? Is it easy for you to say, hey, I have a chainsaw, I can cut it for you if you'd like? So try to come up with a solution that is, because if he sees you coming with neighbor claims for which you have no solution, that sucks really, because it's like, oh yeah, what do you want me to do about it? Now, if you come with a solution like, hey, I have a chainsaw, we could do it in a safe way, are you up for chopping that tree? Perhaps that would ease the problem. But in any case, don't necessarily abandon. If you have a legitimate claim, pursue it and say, you know, next time you see him, say in advance, like, I don't want any trouble. I don't want to annoy you, but it's just this danger. I have to control it to protect my family. I hope you understand. And perhaps you'll get a better receptivity on his side. But there are neighbors who are assholes. And as people point out on the regular chat, maybe court will be your only solution. Fadam says, I believe you can cut down any parts of a tree growing over your land. That's the case in Australia, at least. Yes, if it grows over your land, you can basically do a vertical chop exactly at the property limit between yours and his. But sometimes there are trees that are totally on the other's property, but they are tilting dangerously toward yours. Listen, personally, you know, just find a way to organize your land so that you don't run much risks from this tree. That's already something you can do. If you have a car under this tree, displace your car somewhere else. If you have children playing around this tree, well, they don't play anymore. You change their place of play. And hopefully you can find ways to protect yourself, even if his actions are taking some time. Master Slave says, but he says the tree is going to fall, so that would require killing the tree. You can trim branches that go on your side of the property. Yeah, so just chopping, partial branch chopping may not be enough in this case, you're right, if we're really talking about a tree that's falling. Absolutely. All right. Yeah, I don't have much to say other than this. Not much is happening. I feel that something extremely nefarious is about to happen to society. I feel that in the next 4 years, political advancement will be quite dead. I feel that Donald Trump will not fix America. We learned that there was there is a Jew who is about to win the Mexico election. So as someone was pointing out, this means that a Jew will be controlling the Mexico northern border, and a Jew in Mallorca, as in America, will be controlling the southern US border. That is not that is statistically extremely unlikely, but also very worrying. I feel that there is some placement happening, and the chess pieces that are being placed are extremely aggressive, extremely takeover mode. And I'm afraid, what if the COVID stuff wasn't the worst of the takeover of Sorry, I had to sneeze. What if the COVID was just a practice run, and the chess pieces that are being put in place are for something much worse than COVID, authoritarianism? Rodida Sid says, we can bully JF to play Portal for his own good. I guess, but, you know, I have a very fulfilling life. Very hard for me to want to play a game when I do productive stuff. I think a lot during the day. I spend so much time with the family. I don't know that I have an hour to dedicate to Portal in the rest of my whole life. A super chat of $10. Thank you so much, Black Tie. He says, have you started playing Portal 2 yet? Oh, well, I was resistant to the idea, but now that I see that you guys are sending me money I like. There might be just an amount of money that you throw at me that leads me to play Portal. Thank you.